buddy, when you cry for help, he'll get you out. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be in church on Thursday evening. Appreciate everybody coming out to the house of the Lord. I have my glasses on, and I don't normally wear them, and so if I mess with them, just overlook me, because I'm just not used to wearing the glasses. So I told them I was going to take them off and preach, and then that way I wouldn't know when you got mad. So, amen. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to read verse number 4 this evening. Robert, quit texting in church. You've been busted that time, buddy. You have been busted that time. Amen. He's in a group text, and he was texting in church. I'm just outing you, brother. Just outing you. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 4 says, "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." I want to read it one more time. It says, "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood." Now, I want to point something out here. It wasn't that they hadn't been resisting. They just hadn't resisted to the fullest extent that they could possibly resist to. He said, "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Amen. Let's pray this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you to God for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. Lord, I thank you for your saints, to God, that are here, Lord, and I thank you to God for what you've already been speaking to us. Lord, I pray to God you anoint me to minister this message you've laid on my heart. Lord, I pray to God that I'll deliver it, Lord, as it was delivered unto me. I pray that you'll continue to stir our hearts as you begin to prepare us, Lord, for a series of services in which you desire, Lord, to do a work within us. I pray to God that you'll start that work within us tonight. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated this evening. Paul's writing there to the church. And I say it's Paul, who the writer of Hebrews, is writing to the church. And he's encouraging them a little bit. And he's telling them to look and to press and to go forward and to remember the example that was set before us. And then he makes this statement. He says, "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Seems like a very bold statement. Seems that the writer of the book of Hebrews was telling them that there is a point in which we are to strive, in which it costs us something. I just want to preach for just a little bit this evening on one word: authenticated. Authenticated. Just one word: authenticated. Many Christians today live a life somewhere between victory and defeat. If the victory comes easy, they will accept it. If the victory comes hard, they will only wish for it. How many has had somebody come to you and they said, "I wish I could get the victory. I wish God would move. I wish we could see it like we used to see it." I'm just going to tell you, I'm a little stirred in my soul tonight. God's been reviving my heart. I'll be honest. I haven't come to the pulpit feeling a message like I've come to the pulpit tonight, feeling what I'm feeling tonight, in a while. When the victory comes easy, how many will accept a win? How many's had something work out in your favor that it had nothing to do with the effort you put in it? It just worked out in your favor. And you made this statement, "Well, I'll take the win." And you didn't do anything to earn it, but it just happened to fall into your lap. And you know, there's things in your Christian walk in which God, in His grace and His mercy, He creates victories in your life. He creates blessings. We like to call them windfalls. But he creates circumstances and situations that they work out in your favor. And man, when God works something in our favor, we get excited about it. You know, we come into church and we're ready to testify and we're on fire about it because God has done something great. And guess what? It's easy to take the credit for a victory in your life. But when the going gets tough and the battle gets hard, and when the victory begins to contest an area of our life in which we are constantly failing in, it becomes easy to wish for victory rather than take victory. Many wish to be accepted amongst their Christian peers. We live in a day and an hour in which, honestly, it's popular to go to church. In fact, if you go talk to almost anybody you can meet on the street, you'll ask them if they attend a church, and while they may not attend regularly, they generally will tell you that whenever they go to such and such church. It has become a popular thing in America to go to church. Because really, in reality, nobody wants to be known as a bad person. Nobody wants to be known as a sinner. Nobody wants to be known as somebody that's not good. So, you know, if we can check the church box off of our list, not only can we be accepted amongst the church, but if we don't change much in our lives, we could also be accepted amongst the world. And so what begins to happen is we have a group of Christians who want to be accepted amongst their peers. But if you spend any amount of time living for God and beginning to work out your Christian experience, you will begin to find that God requires something of you. And as he begins to ask something of you, where many fall short is they fail to go beyond anything past acceptance. You see, it's easy to be accepted in church. You know, at Calvary Lighthouse Church, we strive to be a friendly face. We strive to shake your hand. We strive to make you feel comfortable. We have some visitors tonight, and I hope we're making you feel comfortable. You may say, "Boy, that wild, crazy preacher, I don't know what he's doing here tonight," you know. And Sister Sarah, I have to smooth it over. But, you know, we strive. And honestly, most churches, I would say, if they're interested in church growth, they do their best to put forth their best foot forward and to be a friendly face and to smile and make people feel comfortable. And honestly, it's not real hard to begin to make yourself be accepted amongst Christians. And many people get comfortable in being accepted amongst Christian peers. And I will tell you this, if you only surround yourself with peers who have only progressed as far as you have in your Christian walk, you will fail to progress any further because nobody feels a need to improve on anything. But what begins to happen is eventually you're going to come amongst another Christian who has progressed further than you have. And they will challenge you in your Christian walk. And man, you know what? Christians like to be challenged. We enjoy a good sermon that challenges us. And in fact, I have never really found a Christian that has ever backed away from being challenged. I said, "Man, that was good preaching. Man, that challenged me." You got to move beyond challenged. You got to move beyond accepted. There's a place to get in Christ in which he wants to authenticate you. The test of a true Christian comes when faced with the choice to fight or to fail. You know, there's no middle ground there. You either fight or you fail. That's the only thing. That's the only option as a Christian. When the test comes, when the trial comes, you are faced with the choice of whether to rise up and fight or whether you set back and you fail. And there's a lot of Christians who have become comfortable in the house of God with failure. They have become comfortable with the reality that, well, this is just my case and lot in life, is to lead a life of failure. And I want to tell you this, there's nothing wrong with failing. I don't want you to take this wrong, because if you're not doing something, then you're not succeeding. And if you're not moving forward and failing, it means you're not doing anything. It's not wrong to fail. It's not wrong to get out and try to move. It's not wrong to try to increase your faith. It's not wrong to try to move in obedience. Sometimes you don't always get it right. Sometimes you think you knew something, but when you got there, that wasn't exactly it. And so you find yourself trying to step, but you stepped into failure. What do you do when you try to be obedient and you fail? Well, I'm just going to sit here. I'm not going to do nothing. I'm not going to fight. I'm not going to push. I'm not going to press. I'm just going to come to church. I'm going to lift my hand. I'm going to get a little emotional from time to time. And hopefully pastor never asks me to do anything in church. No. The test authenticates the truth of your Christianity. You see, what God's looking for is an authenticated Christian. Authenticity is created when the decision is made to defend your Christian experience no matter the odds. I would probably be willing to venture that at some time this week you had to make a decision about something that you were either facing, dealing with personally, dealing with outside of you, maybe it's a person you're dealing with or a situation, but you had to make a decision on whether you were going to fold or whether you were going to fight. I don't know, that may have been, for some of us, that may have just been trying to crack our eyes open in the morning and drag our leg out of bed and put it on the floor, you know, that man, I tell you what, if you did that, you fought. Consider that a victory. Consider that a win. I'm trying to be a little humorous here. But we have to make a decision to defend our Christian experience no matter the odds. 2 Samuel 23, 11 and 12. It says, and after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. I'm fixing to read you a few series of stories here about some individuals who everybody wished for victory, but some authenticated a victory. You see, what was happening here was, as you read the history, when it was harvest time, the Philistines would come in and they would take what they had worked so hard to produce all through farming season. And they would come in and they would reap the spoils of the Israelites' hard work. They didn't ask for it, Brother Kennard. They didn't say please. They didn't bring no money. Nah. They came in and said, what is yours is now mine. And if you don't like that, I'm going to kill you. And for season after season, there was a season that this went on. This was a habitual practice of the Philistines. But at some point in time, a man named Shammah got tired of the off season. Man, we're going to get them this year. Man, Well, I've been sharpening up my pitchforks, and I've been sharpening up my ox goads, and whatever other tools, or my sword, or my spear, whatever it was. Man, they've been sitting around, the men have been sitting around the coffee table in the morning, and they have been talking about, hey, it's oh, them littles, they're about there. You know, them Philistines are going to be coming. Hey, we're all going to stand this year. We're all going to get together. We're going to fight. How many times we sit around and we talk like that as Christians? We get all riled up. We get all fired up about what we're going to do for God and this thing that we're going to do. And man, I'm going to discipline myself. Boy, I'm going to practice some self-control. Sunday school was good. And we get all riled up around the coffee table. And then the test comes. And the test came. And the Bible says the people fled from the Philistines. Shammah grabbed up his weapon or of choice, whatever it was, and he went out there to the beaten field, and he's looking for Joe, and he's looking for Bob, and he's looking for Larry, and they're running. And at that point in time, Shammah had a choice. Am I going to authenticate what I say I believe in? How did he authenticate his belief? He stood and he fought for what was his. Paul said it like this: contend earnestly for that which was delivered unto the saints. When God does something in your life, it's meant for you to defend it and to fight for it. We can read again in 1 Samuel 17, 48 to 49. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. Man, we always get excited about David and Goliath, don't we? Amen. David came to the camp. David was full of revival. David was excited to serve the Lord. And bless his little heart, he was just bubbling over with everything God was doing in him. And man, that Philistine sure made him mad. And he went to the coffee table. This is the humorous part. David didn't have a seat at the coffee table. All big bubs were sitting up there. And we already know what the Bible said about them. They were big guys. They were strong guys. They were handsome guys. They were warriors. And they're all sitting around the campfire and the coffee table. Here comes Goliath doing his thing. And David comes up and he pulls himself a little stool up there. You know, I don't know. Maybe I get a little carried away in my imagination. I see the big older brothers are sitting over here. And, you know, oh, man. Oh, my God. Oh, man. I can't wait till we can get out there and get after them. Yeah, somebody's got to go do something about that. I'm so tired of hearing about that Philistine out there. And all they were doing is sitting around there complaining and wishing for a victory. And here comes little pipsqueak David. He don't even have a chair at the table. And he pulls up the little stool and he says, hey, how come you guys are not doing something about that guy out there? Well, I tell you what, when you're wishing for the victory and then somebody comes along and says, how come you won't have it? Boy, you get mad. You ever got mad when somebody questioned if you had the victory or not? You ever got mad when somebody came along and just hit a nerve about something God's been dealing with you and you've been failing in that area, and somebody comes along and they're on fire about that area and you get a little upset about it? That's because you just bumped into an authenticated Christian. And man, they got mad and they said, you need to go back to where you came from. But what's interesting is the coffee table next to him heard the discussion that was going on at the son of Jesse's table. And they said, man, look at Eliab's little brother. He's over there just making them mad. And he's talking some big talk. And one coffee table to the next coffee table to the next coffee, the conversation began to change. And the conversation was no longer about wishing for victory. The conversation was, who is this little guy that seems to have so much courage and ferocity about this man? And all the stories made it all the way around to King Saul. And Saul called him in. And David's like, he said, if nobody else is going to do it, Saul, I'll go do it. And Saul was desperate. He had a camp full. And honestly, Saul was in the same boat. They were wishing for victory. But nobody wanted to push to authenticate what they said they believed. You see, they had the same promises David had. They had the same word that David had. They had the same opportunity that David had. But they were not willing to push themselves past the obstacle to authenticate the promises. And so we find, you know, they tried to outfit David, and he said, no, that doesn't work, and yada, yada, yada. All the way up to the point where we get to this portion. I got to hurry because I'm running out of time. We get up to this portion of Scripture, and all the way up to this point, David's been walking, and he's been going, and he's been pushing forward. But this is the point he authenticated. He had been talking it right. He had been saying it right. He had put forth that he had the courage. He had put forth that he had that he believed in the promises of God. He put forth that he loved God. And he went all the way to the brook. And he got 5 smooth stones. And he even crossed the brook. And he had some dialogue with the giant. But all the way up to that point, Brother Lucas, he could have backed off and said, he's too big, he's too bad, and he's too ugly. But the more that Philistine talked, the angrier David got. And the more the Philistine cursed his God, the angrier David got. And there came a point in which I believe a fire welled up within David. And the Bible says he wasn't cautious. He wasn't careful. He wasn't fearful. The Bible says that as the giant hasted toward him, David picked up a beat and he hasted toward the giant. That was the point in which he authenticated everything that he said he believed. If I could challenge anybody tonight, the promises of God are yours. The word of God is yours. The victory can be yours. What he's looking for, it's a child of God who authenticates what they say they believe. Paul said it like this: wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then he says, stand therefore. When the battle's hot and the trial's close, and it seems that you're setting yourself up for another failure, that's when you have to make a conscious choice, a conscious decision, sitting around waiting for God to give you the victory is not going to accomplish the victory. Sitting around waiting for God to show me what I need to do is not going to get God showing you what you need to do. We sit on our church pews, and many times we sing, Jesus, or something like that. Don't refuse. I don't know. I may have got the songs all mixed up. Seems like that's what we sing. We sing songs and about moviness, and we sing songs. And, you know, I told the Lord I'd make him a soldier if he wrote my name. Man, look what the Lord has done. We get all excited and we get emotional, and boy, man, woohoo! The feeling of the Spirit of God wants to. Feel good. You know what? If let's switch to this carnal around here. If you begin to work out at the gym, it's horrible getting up in the morning to go. And it's horrible getting in that truck, driving it when it's dark. There's something about getting up when it's dark that just doesn't seem right. And it's horrible driving in the dark, and you get down there and you sit down at one of those machines and you stretch a little bit. You need to do that, because if you don't, you won't move after you're done. But you begin to put in the work. And as you begin to put in the work and you put in the effort, all that hard things to get through to get there, they fade. And when you come out of that workout, Brother Matthew, your blood's pumping, your heart rate's elevated, your mind is clear. Sometimes your body does hurt. But what exercise does for you is it changes your mentality and your thought process. And it's so hard to get there. Once you get there and you feel it, you forget about the struggle to get there. Sometimes we're so engrossed in the struggle that we forgot what the victory feels like. And if the devil can convince you that the only thing your Christian walk is ever going to be is a struggle, you will lose the initiative to fight for the victory. I said all of that to say this. Victory isn't something that happens to you. Victory is something you create for yourself. I know we use that to pick yourself up by the bootstraps, and I know that's it's a kind of a harsh term, but I want to tell you this, that victory in your Christian walk is a conscious decision you have to make on your own. God doesn't give you victory. You give yourself victory, and God blesses you for it. I may be preaching something you never heard before, but I want to tell you something. Paul said to stand. I got to finish this up. I'm going to join preaching tonight. 2 Kings chapter 23, verse number 1. It says, and the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. I want to back up there for just a minute. King Josiah came to the kingship at 8 years old. And at that point in time, he was under the tutorship of his governor. But when he turned 16 years old, the scribe found a forgotten book in God's house. Can you imagine? Man. What if you found God's forgotten book in his house? What would happen to you if you found it? They found God's book in God's house that they'd all forgot about. And they came and they began to read it to Josiah. And Josiah got under such conviction. The Bible says he rent his clothes. And he began to cry. And he reached out to the prophetess and said, what do we need to do in order not to experience the things written in this book? What was he reading? He was reading about God's judgment. And God's judgment was coming because of the past kingship. And so, the word of the Lord came to Josiah, and he said, if you'll do what's in the book, I'll spare it, the nation of Judah, in your reign. And you know, Josiah could have said back, well, man, praise the Lord, that's good. I'm going to abide by the book. But that wasn't good enough. He got so radicalized by the word of God that he went down to the house of God and he called a big meeting. And he said, you know what? Nobody's heard the word of God in umpteen years. We're going to read aloud the word of God to the people. And so they begin to read aloud the word of God to the people. And all the people were moved by the things that were in the book. So much to the point that they stood and they made a covenant before the Lord. What was this covenant? They said, "We promise to fight for what's in this book." And all the people stood. When they stood, you know what they said? They said, "Amen." They said, "With all of our hearts, with all of our soul, with all of our minds, we are going to serve God." And Josiah didn't leave it there. The next few verses talks about how he went next door to the church house. And he cast out the house of the Sodomites. They were right beside the house of the Lord. He cast them out. He went up to the high places and he destroyed the altars. He went down to the low places and he destroyed the altars. He went all the way down to the worship of Molech, the valley that they used to throw the children to the red hot idol. You'd say abortion's a new thing. Abortion's not a new thing. It's a very, very old thing and God hates it. And Josiah went down and he destroyed all of that. I mean, he cleaned house. And everything that he touched, and everything that he did for the purpose of restoring God's presence to Israel. What was happening here in Josiah's life? Josiah began to authenticate the promises of the Word of God. And as Josiah began to read the Word of God, he began to show him things that needed to go in the house of Israel. Let me tell you something. When you begin to authenticate your Christian experience, God's going to begin to show some things that need to go in your heart, your life. When you begin to authenticate your Christian experience, God's going to begin to kick some things that are causing you to lose the victory out of your life. What happened in the nation of Judah during the time of Josiah? They experienced a season of revival. And verse 25 says this, and Sister Lindsay's coming back to the piano. "And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him." What happened in Josiah's life? He authenticated God's word in his life. I want to ask you a question. If you're standing to your feet. We're fixing to embark on a series of services that we call revival. Pastor's going to be preaching Sunday morning. Brother Joe's going to be preaching Sunday night. And then Monday through Friday night. And it's a time that we set aside to come to church, fellowship, see each other, hear some good music. No. Revival is a time in which the services are going to be geared specifically to speak to you about what God wants to authenticate in your life. What the world desires more than anything to see out of the church is to see authentic Christians. You see, while maybe Christians accept Christians amongst Christian peers, the world sees through those that are just accepted and those that are authenticated. And if you want to impact the world, you're going to have to be authenticated. You see, the reason Shammah was listed where he was listed wasn't because Shammah was trying to make the list of mighty men. Shammah just got tired of failing and being defeated. It's as simple as that, church. He got tired of giving up what was his. There's been times in my life that's the only thing that stood between me and progress was me getting tired of the same result. And the only thing that spurred me to move past that point was getting tired of failing and making a conscious decision to do whatever it took to fight through the problem. I would run to God and I would beg Him to take the problem away. But God doesn't take our problems away. He authenticates your experience when you push through them. You see, if God takes the problem away, you'll never learn how to fight through it. There are things, church, you have to learn to fight through. David came through all full of revival. And he chose in the heat of the moment and the fervor of being excited for God. I don't think David even realized when he crossed the authentication line. He was solely focused. Why was he so focused? Well, because he had already been spending time in prayer. We're coming to revival. If you want to see revival, revival can happen. But you're going to have to authenticate it in yourself. You're going to have to be willing to do whatever it takes to see revival in your life. Whatever it takes to see revival in your life. Josiah chose to be authenticated and experience revival. And because of that, he went down as the most righteous king that ever ruled Judah. So I want to tell you tonight, quit wishing for revival. Quit wishing for victory. Quit wishing your problems would go away. Quit wishing it would get easier. Quit wishing. Quit wishing. Quit wishing. Authenticate. 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 He said, God, I need the Holy Ghost. Authenticate. God, I need revival. My people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Then will I hear from heaven. Authenticate. God, I need to see your will. God, I don't know which direction I need to go. Authenticate. Authenticate. Take God at His word. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Authenticate. I want to challenge you as you're coming into these altars tonight. We're gathering for a time of prayer. I know it's not a rafter raiser message. But I know that God wants to do something in your life. And God's been trying to do something in your life. And God's been touching your life. God's been moving in your life. God's been speaking to you about your life. Are you going to move beyond just acceptance? Are you going to rise to the challenge? Are you going to say, this is mine? Devil, you're not going to have it. I choose to fight instead of to fail. God, I want you to authenticate your presence in my life. There's a place, church, that we can get to. There's a place to be had in which we continue in a pattern of victory, in which we walk in a pattern of overcoming, in which we walk in a state of revival, in which when we walk out these doors and God puts people in our paths, we know the right things to say to them. We know the right words to witness to them. What is happening? God is authenticating His presence in your life. I want to challenge you. Let God authenticate your life.